From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The fourth message in the series is called Faith That Overcomes Depravity and Death. It deals with Enoch, the man who walked with God and was taken to heaven without dying. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Trust Means Joy. The text is Psalm 33 and verse 21. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. The root of faith produces the flower of heart joy. We may not at the first rejoice, but it comes in due time. We trust the Lord when we are sad, and in due season He so answers our confidence that our faith turns to fruition, and we rejoice in the Lord. Doubt breeds distress, but trust means joy in the long run. The assurance expressed by the psalmist in this verse is really a promise held out in the hands of holy confidence. Oh, for grace to appropriate it! If we do not rejoice at this moment, yet we shall do so, as surely as David's God is our God. Let us meditate upon the Lord's holy name, that we may trust Him the better, and rejoice the more readily. He is in character holy, just, true, gracious, faithful, and unchanging. Is not such a God to be trusted? He is all-wise, almighty, and everywhere present. Can we not cheerfully rely upon Him? Yes, we will do so at once, and do so without reserve. Jehovah Jireh will provide. Jehovah Shalom will send peace. Jehovah Tzidkenu will justify. Jehovah Shammah will be forever near. And in Jehovah Nissi we will conquer every foe. They that know Thy name will trust Thee, and they that trust Thee will rejoice in Thee, O Lord.
Thank you.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. The second person memorialized in the 11th chapter of Hebrews is Enoch, of whom it is recorded that he was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. In the midst of ungodliness and apostasy, Enoch represents the apex of the godly line, providing a rich example for believers in every age. By his testimony in the midst of a wicked society, Enoch is a challenge to us to shine for Christ. As we'll see, Enoch had a bright testimony for God before his translation. It is recorded that he pleased God. This was apparent in his walk and in his witness. The secret was his unshakable faith in God, a response to divine revelation. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message called Faith That Overcomes Depravity and Death.
Let's keep in mind that Enoch was first a man of holiness in a day of apostasy. But he was more. He was, and he continues to be, a message of life in the midst of death. Genesis 5, the recurring phrase is, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And then you suddenly come to Enoch, and he didn't die. So, you have these two things about Enoch. He was a man of holiness in a day of apostasy. His faith overcame depravity. He was a man who didn't die. He was a man who is a message of life in the midst of death. Here indeed is the very heart of the gospel that we preach. It deals with sin, and it gives you the power to live above the world and sin with a heart made pure and your garments white and Christ enthroned within. The gospel that does not give you the power to live in victory either is not the gospel, or secondly, is not being applied by faith in your life. But let us get this. The gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation, not just the entrance upon salvation, but the enjoyment of salvation. The gospel is God's mighty dynamic power to enable his people to overcome depravity. Now we all have that battle. You were born in sin, so was I. Very often people want to come and say, well, now I have particular, peculiar, unique problems. Don't you believe it? You don't. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And the promise is, he has with the temptation made a way to escape. What is that way of escape? It is the way of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to overcome depravity. And in Enoch we will see that faith exercised. Not only so, but it deals with death and it gives eternal life. Oh, the body may die. We will not all, like Enoch, be translated that we will not see death. The body may die, but it will be raised and translated anyway. And if we're alive until the coming of the Lord, then, like Enoch, we will not see death, but we will be immediately translated to be made like unto the Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body. Enoch symbolizes these twin truths. His faith operated with power in these areas. He entered into these things. The gospel that overcomes depravity. The gospel that overcomes death. He entered into them by faith. And so do we. So we're going to look at this faith that overcomes in these areas that are so important to all of us today. Depravity and death. First thing I notice about Enoch's faith is that his faith was obvious before his translation. You see, we can get so focused on Enoch's translation. After all, that is the unique thing about Enoch. He was translated that he shouldn't see death. We can look at that so much that we forget the fact that Enoch's faith was very obvious long before. In fact, we read, he had this testimony, he pleased God. What a testimony. He pleased God. I don't know that there were very many other people that he pleased. In fact, I'd be fairly certain that the vast majority of people in the world didn't like Enoch, didn't like his stand, didn't have much time for his message. His was a strident message, a strong message. His was a message that no generation wants to hear. Notice the recurring word in that message is ungodly. Here was a man who was called of God to do battle with ungodliness, and you may be absolutely sure the ungodly didn't like it. In fact, it would appear that by his time, the line of Seth itself was becoming more than a little corrupt. And the apostasy which was in the line of Cain was now eating into the line of Seth. Remember, it is just in the days of Noah, just two or three generations on from here, that there's only one family left that's not affected by this awful corruption. And God has to wipe out not only the line of Cain, but the line of Seth along with it, except for the family of Noah. So you can say that this was a man then who could not have been very popular. Certainly the out-and-out apostates didn't like him. And you can be sure that the compromisers who should have been taking a stand, they didn't like him too much either. He didn't please man, but he pleased God. He pleased God. That's a testimony to covet. It is only said of two men that they walked with God. And all this narrative, you read through Genesis, you'll read of some great men. We read that Noah walked with God. Twice we're told, as we read this morning, that Enoch walked with God. That's how he pleased God. He pleased God in his walk. And then he pleased God in his witness. Now, those are the two areas in which, if you're ever going to please God, that's where you'll do it. First is the secret walk of fellowship. Of course, it's going to have a public manifestation. But don't for a minute imagine that this walking with God was Enoch parading down Main Street in whatever town he happened to live in. And everybody says, oh, there's that man walking with God. No doubt they could see it. But it started in the secret place. There was a man spending time with God. There was a man spending time in the meditation of the revelation of God. There was a man spending time in prayer. There was a man doing business with God. There was a man who walked with God in personal fellowship. That pleased God. And of course, the public manifestation of that spilled over immediately into witness. In the book of Genesis, when we read, he walked with God, there is the deliberate insertion of the definite article. He walked with the God. That's no little point of grammar. In a day when the apostates were claiming the name of God, in a day when every man was doing whatever he wanted and invoking the name of God over it, there was one man who pleased God because it was obvious to all and sundry, here's a man and he's walking with the true God. He's spending time with God. He's fully committed to God. And that carried over into his public witness for the Lord. But the point that we have got to emphasize is he did this by faith. Now that says a lot. Remember what I have pointed out. in these studies in Hebrews 11. You cannot have faith without a prior revelation from God. Faith is a response to a divine revelation of grace. And God had given him that revelation. His walk and witness were a direct response to the revelation of God's grace. Think of how the Lord spoke to Enoch. Now I'm going to go out on a limb here. I've done this before, and there's some controversy over the meaning of Methuselah's name. Most Hebraists take it as meaning the man of the dark. The meth comes from a Hebrew word that means man, and that's very like a Phoenician word that also means man, and all the rest of it. I think, to be quite honest, that it is pure nonsense to make Methuselah the man of the dark. You see, Methuselah's name far predates the Hebrew language as it came to be written, and it has nothing to do with the Phoenicians. They hadn't even been dreamed of at this time. So why on earth anybody would be idiotic enough to go into Phoenician to find out what Methuselah means is more than I can understand. The Hebrew word for man most probably traces its etymology, at least this particular Hebrew word for man, most probably traces its etymology to the word for death. And it's for that reason that most of the old Bible-believing scholarship took the meth here as the Hebrew word for death, and the selah, Methuselah, from the Hebrew verb to send. And it makes a mighty prophecy. When he dies, it shall be sent. Here was a message from God to Enoch. When this son was born to him, God gave Enoch a revelation of coming judgment. And he said that this son of his would in many ways be the sign of heaven to earth. And it's significant that it was the very year that Methuselah died that God sent the flood. When he dies, it shall be sent. And I have no doubt that Enoch understood that revelation from God. He knew what was going to be sent. He had never seen a raindrop. He didn't understand with the mind of the flesh how these things could come about. But Enoch believed God. He had that revelation. Of course, that God gave him the one that we read this morning in the book of Jude, that looked way beyond the flood to the final glorious coming of the Lord and his victory. Now the point I want to make is this. God gave Enoch a revelation of judgment and of the victory of Christ. And Enoch believed the Lord and he lived in the light of those things. Now there's the secret of pleasing God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.